TMZ TV.
Well, on Wednesday, I brought you a video titled Fellowship with Believers of the Past. Yesterday, I brought you a video named Fellowship with Believers of the Present. I don't see how I could finish the week without bringing you a video titled Fellowship with Believers of the Future. But believers of the future will be of a far different stripe than either believers of the past or those of the present. Here's what I mean. Believers of the future will be saved by sight and not by faith. I am considering believers of the future to be those who rise at the great white throne judgment, whom God did not appoint for either membership in the body of Christ or in the circumcision Israel gospel. These are many, many people, the great and the small, according to Revelation chapter 20, rise at the great white throne. They will have been dead for 1,000 years, at least 1,000 years. And those would be the recently dead. We're talking about the dead of all time. It's hard to believe what I'm about to tell you, but this would include even Adam. Adam was neither an Israelite nor a member of the body of Christ. It's all timing for the young man, Adam. Job would be included in that group, believe it or not. Job was neither an Israelite, was he? I don't think so. Or a member of the body of Christ, obviously. I guess you could say it's a big deal to not be raised before the 1,000 years. But remember, the dead did not know anything. There's no passage of time for them. So the dead who rise at the great white throne, the small and the great, will have no perception that they were dead. They won't know any passage of time. To their experience, the moment of their death was the moment of their resurrection at the great white throne, where they will see Christ and us. Paul says that to the Corinthians, of all people, don't you know that you will be judging angels? So how is it that we who will be judging angels will not be part of the judgment of the human beings that rise to stand before God's throne? These will be the believers of the future. And we will have fellowship with them. You may say, but Martin, you just said we were going to judge them. How can we have fellowship with them? For the same reason that God, even now, has some degree, not of fellowship, but of involvement with his creatures. I guess you can't really call it fellowship now, can you? They don't know people today. Most people don't know God as their father. They know God only in some abstract sense of this giant being that's the best of them. Understand that God created everything, but they have no familial relationship with him. We do, because God has granted us faith. Those who appear at the great white throne have not been given faith, with the exception of the sterling individuals previously mentioned and others. Noah, he'll be at the great white throne. He's not an Israelite and he's not a member of the body of Christ. That's just the way it is. I'm just reporting. I didn't invent any of this. But I do believe that there will be a fellowship, much as Joseph enjoyed fellowship with his brothers even while he was executing judgment upon them. And I remind you that the judgment Joseph executed upon his brothers, maybe executed is a bad word, the judgment that Joseph wrought ended up being good, didn't it? Yes, there was some weeping and gnashing of teeth as he tortured them for months, sending them back home, placing the cup in their bag of grain, sending out his officers to arrest them and bring them back, keeping Benjamin on board while the rest of them had to return to Canaan without their youngest brother, which would grieve their father, Israel. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the great white throne, make no mistake, and we will be the cause of it. Just as a father disciplines children, we will somehow discipline those at the great white throne. They will become believers in God. How can you not, when you've been raised from the dead, you've been made aware that you have been dead, and you're standing before Christ and immortal members of his body? It's going to be quite impressive. How do you like me now? But we will be of the spirit of Joseph, and we will revel in the light that dawns on these people, who will then, of course, believe. They will be subject to the judgment of God, our judgment, the judgment of Christ, but it will, as all judgment is, be purposeful, and it will result in their being enlightened to the truths that you and I are now enlightened concerning. We have come in early. I can't emphasize enough how you and I have won the lottery, how God chose us and preferred us from the beginning for salvation. But just imagine this, that those who thought we were crazy in this life, those who disfellowshipped us, those who abused us, left us, they will finally see the truth then. And there will be regret, necessary regret, purposeful regret, but they will be brought to a knowledge of God through our agency. This is not something that you ought to dread. No, no, no. You ought to look forward to this. I look forward to it big time. Any misunderstanding that occurs in this life, people who hate me, people who abandon me, I look forward to everything being made right at the great white throne. That is the joy of Joseph when he revealed himself to his brothers. It will be our joy when we reveal ourselves to our former enemies that will then be our friends. But I want to make sure you understand the benefit of believing by faith and not by perception. I'll say this again. Those at the great white throne will not be saved by faith. Our Lord said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." That is us. This is why I've told you many times, and I encourage you to be of the same disposition, that I don't want to see anything. I don't want to hear voices. I don't want to see Jesus Christ yet. I like the fact that I've been given the gift of faith. I like the fact because it's valuable to God. You remember that woman at the well? She was one of the few in Israel who recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And she did this while looking at this nondescript, even unsavory looking man who dispensed to her words of truth, and he actually prophesied. concerning her living situation, the husbands that she had, who she was living with. He knew it all. So in a way, she came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah because he stood with her and he told her things about her life that only a man from God could have known. So we're even more blessed than her. But Jesus was thrilled to find any faith in Israel. So don't you think that our Lord and Savior is thrilled that you and I, and I know this is by the grace of God, but we continually, every day, while not seeing anything, not hearing anything, not going to the third heaven, we still have faith. And this is a very valuable commodity. And it is yet another thing that distinguishes us from those with whom we will have fellowship at the great white throne. The believers of the future. Some of these will be transferred to the new earth. Most of them will be. Some will go to the lake of fire, which is the second death, which begs the question, and I don't blame you for asking this question. I asked it when I first heard of this. Why is it that people who come to a realization of God through judgment, through weeping and gnashing of teeth, through the grand realization that, oh my God, how did I not see this in life? God will say, well, I didn't show it to you. Nevertheless, you must be adjusted to the new truth. The question will be asked, why would anyone, becoming enlightened at the great white throne, why would anyone go to the second death, which is the lake of fire? It's simply this, that their names are not found written in the book of life, and they are judged in accord with their acts, not in accord with their faith, because these people didn't have any faith. Remember that. Let me ask you this question, and it'll help answer the problem you might have with people coming to a realization of truth whose names are not written in the book of life going to the second death. Are we not believers? Have we not been given faith? Do we not know the great truths of justification and conciliation and the salvation of all? The truth of the role of Christ, the secrets of his will, being made conformable to his death, understanding our death with Christ. Some of us die, don't we? Yes, I have two dear friends in the Lord. I've mentioned them many times, Charlie Kronk and Nelson Cardwell, and there are others. They died. Do we object to that? Well, maybe on some level we do, but intellectually, we know that even Paul died. They all died, all the believers of days past have died. The believers that I talked about on Wednesday, the believers of the past that we have fellowship with through the Word of God, they died. Death is not a punishment. You see, this is helpful. Death is not a punishment. Death is merely the retiring of the old body, this old corpse, so that God can resurrect it a new body. So think of it that way. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that a seed does not bear fruit unless it is planted into the ground. There is a generation that will not die, but most of those gone before did die. And it's just as Paul said. Death is not the end. It's a seed planted in the ground. And if there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual body also. Any being on this earth that has borne a soulish body, this includes animals, it includes insects, certainly includes human beings. Every soulish body has a corresponding spiritual body. This requires resurrection. We are the rare exception in that we will be changed on our feet. We will be changed from mortality to immortality as we stand upon this earth. But for most people, it's not that way. But death does not interrupt. Well, it temporarily interrupts God's plans for them. No, I'm going to restate that. It doesn't interrupt his plans at all. His plans are to vivify every creature that has a soul. He will save the body and the soul and the spirit. For most people, death intervenes, but it does not interrupt God's intentions for all his creatures. And so I'll end this way for the week. The vast majority of humanity will stand at the great white throne. The vast majority. And we will be there to greet them all. And like Joseph's brothers, they will bow to us. They will tremble before us. And yet we will lift up their chins and show them Christ. And on that day, they will come to a realization of the truth. Finally, they will come to a realization of the truth. This will be one of the most satisfying things we will ever experience. And what we will do for those people, those billions of people at the great white throne, consider it a practice for what we will do with the angels and what we will do for the sovereignties and the authorities and the world mights, even those of wickedness among the celestials. And this is the fellowship that we will have with believers of the future.